This is the WTF Bach Podcast.
Right, that work those fingers.
The podcast about Johann Sebastian Bach, brought to you by his prodigal son, WTF Bach. Join WTF Bach as he guides your mind through a contrapuntal journey.
Why don't you let WTF Bach guide you?
And now, here's WTF Bach.
It is I, Evan Schinners, some news and a cantata for you. The Bach store in Germany is done. I locked up the doors. I packed up the merchandise after playing some 75 solid hours of Bach. Now, hopefully, the walls of the space are well tempered. And speaking of merchandise, there is a bit left over from the run. I printed a set of 7 WTF Bach themed magnets. There are t-shirts, 3D printed Bach heads, and all kinds of cool stuff. So if you're interested in swagging out your life, send me a quick note and I can arrange a sale. Now, the Bach store was quite a wonderful experience. I was lucky to have a very genuine and generous public. Some fans of the podcast even came to Erfurt during the run. Some of you drove hundreds of kilometers to see it, and it was really nice seeing that you are real. You do exist, you listeners, so thank you for coming out. Now, I know that some of you wish you could have come to Germany, but you are in a different place on the planet. You tuned into the live stream, which I admit was very shaky and often was not working, but when it was, I was thrilled to see so many of you watching from many places all over the world. Thank you very much. Now, the second order of business is that I am making an unexpected visit to New York City this Friday, the 12th, that's like in 48 hours, to open for a wonderful cellist named Suvi at Le Poisson Rouge on Bleecker Street. That's LPR, Le Poisson Rouge on Bleecker Street. I've never played at Le Poisson Rouge. I've always wanted to. And it's this Friday. The doors open at 7 p.m. I go on at 8, and Suvi is to follow. So I'll put that ticket information into the episode description, and I really hope to see some of you there on Friday night in the city. Finally, the big news, I will have to devote several episodes to this big news, is that I've finally begun launching my, quote, complete J.S. Bach keyboard works. The albums, I'm dropping albums, finally at long last, and the first three are due, as it were, on May 17th, 2024, but I believe you can pre-order them on April 24th, 2024, harnessing the mystical power of 24 and the 24 tonalities of the well-tempered clavier. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about this project. There's a projected 24 albums, again, with the Bachian number, and it aims to go quite deep into the keyboard repertoire, much more than your typical collection of Bach keyboard works. Eventually, things like, say, the notebooks for his son WF and his wife will be there. I might even sing a few of the songs in the Anna Magdalena Bach notebook. Music for the organ without pedals, music of so-called doubtful authenticity, works you've never heard. Really, I promise, Bach works you've never heard will be released. So let me tell you about the first three albums that, again, pre-sale April 24th, 2024. The first is the 5 earliest suites. These are works that are from the teenage Bach, really among the earliest works we have. Bach was maybe only 15 years old while writing some of them. That's a fascinating thing to see. We don't often think of Bach as the prodigy of music like Mozart or Mendelssohn, but again, we don't often think of Bach correctly now, do we? So these are wonderful pieces, very rarely played. And here's the twist. I tuned the piano to a mean tone temperament, so it's a very wild sound. If you've never heard a piano in a different temperament, especially something as dramatic as mean tone, it's quite a thrill. I guarantee you've not heard an album like this before. That's why it is the first of 24 projected albums. Now, the second album, 4 original compositions for the so-called lute. If you've been following my YouTube videos coming out every couple weeks, you know that we're discussing the lute repertoire and what did it mean for Bach when he says, for the lute. Now, there's a large amount of music for the lute, maybe even 80 minutes or so. Some of that music is transcription from his solo string music, you know, a violin partita, cello suite here and there, but 4 compositions are specifically written for this instrument, which probably, and I don't want to break the hearts of all the classical guitarists out there, which was probably a lute harpsichord, which I think is an instrument we must have discussed it here on the show. It's an instrument that's played like a harpsichord. I mean, it is a sort of harpsichord. It has the same mechanism, but it has the body of a lute, the big belly of a lute, the gut strings of a lute, and the leather pluckings that, yes, mimic the plucking of skin on the fingers, which would have plucked the lute. Now, the instrument I record these 4 compositions on is similar, but hyper-modern. It's an acoustic piano running a sound that is similar, I suppose we could say, to a flamenco guitar. And it has the action of a harpsichord. Again, it's not a sample. It's an acoustic instrument. The sound is coming out of wood, and there are strings that are vibrating. It's sort of hard to describe, but once you hear it, you may understand. The effect, I believe, is that it sounds like I got really good suddenly at the classical guitar. So you probably were not expecting a classical guitar album from me, but there you have it, April 24th. Now, the third album, nothing tricky here, recorded on a grand piano in standard tuning. The repertoire is, however, preludes and fugues that are not found in the Well-Tempered Clavier. Miscellaneous Preludes and Fugues, Part 1, because all of those preludes and fugues not found in the Well-Tempered Clavier can't fit on a single disc. So there are a few early versions of some famous preludes and fugues, fugues that were only printed as late as 2005. There's an unfinished prelude on there, 38 seconds long, fugues that are considered, again, doubtful authenticity. You may know some of the preludes and fugues on this album, but on the whole, the third album should be a pleasant 50 minutes of music you've probably not heard before. So that's it. Three albums. Why three? I don't know. Why not? One album a year would be 24 years, right? So, five early suites, four original compositions for lute, and then Miscellaneous Preludes and Fugues, Part 1. And here's the best thing about being a listener of this podcast. I've been making these performer commentary supplements, I guess I could say, to each album. Remember when you put in a DVD and you could turn on or off the commentary made by the director as the director is watching the film? Remember that? The director saying, oh yes, in this scene, she was eating a hot dog and the camera came... Blah, blah, blah. You know, this is what I've done with each of these albums. I listen to the album and I'm talking about the music, talking about making the recording, which parts are difficult, which parts are my favorite. I must say it's somewhat similar to this podcast, obviously. I'm talking about Bach while playing Bach. Slightly different, but I will release all of these performance commentary as individual episodes on the podcast. So even if you don't buy the album, you can hear the album with my commentary on the top of them. And I hope you enjoy that. That should be all coming out within the next few months. 2024, what a year for Bach. What a year for us. And now, enough ceaseless self-promotion. When I met a few of you at the recent Bach store, and lots of your recent fan mail has told me how much you've all enjoyed my talking about the cantatas. So I thought briefly, today we'd cover another cantata and I'd give you what you want. So today we're going to look at what Bach was up to about 300 years ago, again in 1724, Easter time. This coming Sunday is the second Sunday after Easter. He's just performed, 2 weeks ago, the first version of the St. John Passion on April 7th. Imagine that, 1724, the first version of the St. John Passion. And then to follow after Good Friday, he had Easter Sunday, Easter Monday, Easter Tuesday, the first Sunday after Easter. He probably wasn't lounging around all that much, safe to say. So now it's the second Sunday after Easter, and what has Bach got in store for the Leipzig congregation? Well, the prescribed readings for the congregation come from the Gospel of John, talking about Jesus as the Good Shepherd. So Bach knows this in advance, and Bach, with his almost encyclopedic knowledge of the Bible, recalls Psalm 80. Now, the first line of Psalm 80 is from the King James Version. Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. A more modern translation has it as, you, shepherd of Israel, listen, who watch over Joseph like sheep, and appear you who are seated above the cherubim. Now Bach will set this first verse of Psalm 80 to music. And unlike the other cantatas from 1724 that we've covered, this opening movement does not rely on a chorale melody. So what will Bach do? Well, this whole hear, O Israel, this idea, du hirte Israel, this is the German now, du hirte Israel, you shepherd Israel, höre, hear, that will be certainly clear. He will wake up the congregation by saying, hear, everyone, listen, you know, listen to this psalm from the Bible, der du Joseph hütest, you who shepherd Joseph, wie der Schafe, so as sheep, so you who lead Joseph like sheep, and then erscheine, appear, right? So Bach will do something with hear and appear. Der du sitzest über Cherubim, you who is seated above the cherubim. So we can probably imagine that there will be some tone painting, someone leading something. I go back to the first season of this podcast where I mentioned the terms in fugue, dukes and comes, right? The first part of the fugue, the dukes, put up your dukes. That is the leader. So we can probably imagine that Bach will go to some sort of fugue here, using in musical word painting the leader leading the rest of the orchestra. Let's see it. Let's go straight into BWV 104. This is Cantata 104, second Sunday after Easter. Du Hirte Israel höre. Okay, this is really thrilling for me because I don't know this cantata. So this is, you know, on a first time hearing for me, maybe for you, we're definitely outside. I mean, goodness, G major. I know I'm playing in F sharp major, but that's because it's Baroque tuning. But anyways, F sharp major, very pastoral. And I definitely feel outside. Now, I'm looking at the score. It's a bit harder to hear this. Violin 2. And then violin 1 follows. Lead us. Come on. Here's violin 2. Violin 1. And then the oboes, the two oboes and the taila also. And everyone joins in, and then you hear even the continuo coming in. Let's listen to that all again. Okay, keeping in mind, we're outside and we're being led. We're being led. Lead us. Violin 1. Winds join. Now the continuo. Okay, so this is more or less the first long phrase sung by the choir, and let's listen to how Bach says, höre, hear. And of course, erscheinet. I mean, the word shine is within erscheinet, and listen to how erscheinet really shines. Now, I must admit, I became a bit emotional while listening to the next phrase because, like I say, I'm really discovering this cantata, this movement, the first time with you. You'll hear the choir starting up again, and this is maybe me just giving my imagination free rein, but you'll hear the sopranos and the altos, they sort of break off, and then the lower voices, tenors and basses, they break off, and it's almost as if you're seeing the sheep sort of saying, ah, well, we're no longer together. And then out of it, out of that comes the text, you who lead Joseph like sheep, and the tenors, they lead. And you'll hear it. It's just so literal. That's what is maybe the most incredible thing about this music. It's so literal. There's nothing creative there. He says, The text says, you lead. And so Bach says, there we go, I'm going to lead. The text says, here. He says, fine, I'm going to put chords for here. Shine it, air shine it. Up here, I'm going to have it very high. It's all so very literal, and yet somehow it's just an absolute miracle. Let's listen to the sheep sort of scattering a bit, and then let's hear the tenors leading out of the confusion. High voices now. Lower voices. You see them not together, and then now, that's more or less the first fugue in this movement. And notice the fugal subject, when the tenors introduced it, it's not just any fugal subject, it's not something like this. That's an organ fugue, for some reason that's in my mind, but no, it's really like, lead us, you know, listen to the subject. I mean, that is very inviting. It's like, yeah, where are you going? I'll follow you. It's very easy to follow. And then the altos. And then the sopranos. We'll listen to it again, and I'll point out where the particular voices are coming in. And also listen to when a voice is not singing the theme. They're singing Erscheine it, appear. Like, really, come on, appear. And then we'll go on, and you'll hear, again, like a similar type thing happening. You know, they start together, say höre, they, you know, hear, and then the sheep sort of stray again. You'll hear the opposite happen. The bottom voices kind of go over there, and then the top voices go over there, and then you need the basses this time. They're saying, nope, okay, I am leading you, and then you'll hear the same fugue, this time led by the basses, and the subjects will come from bottom to top, and you'll hear this glorious fugue happen a second time in this movement. Let's hear it. Okay, there's the tenors leading out of the confusion. Altos. Sopranos. Meanwhile, they're singing, appear. They're begging him to appear. The shepherd did a good job. Okay, good, they're together now. All together. Now they say, here, listen up, everyone. Here. Here again. Okay, now the sheep are coming apart again. Uh-oh. Bottom voices, top voices, bottom voices, now the shepherd and the basses. Tenors. And now the altos. Finally, the sopranos. The sun. So I don't have much more to say about that movement. I might just mention that, as I've devoted quite seriously the last 15 years of my life to Bach and getting deeper into this world, and even many years before that, knowing that I can wake up today and say, I wonder what Bach was up to 300 years ago today, this week, figure out what piece he was writing, realize not only do I not know it, but that I've never even heard it, and only on the most cursory level, only after devoting a few hours to its history and just touching the tip, the very smallest amount of what's going on in the music, find this as the product. I mean, that might just be the key to a happy life. He's Bach. He is the stream. He is this unending stream of deep ideas and beautiful music. And knowing that tomorrow I could do the same thing with another cantata, it's simply overwhelming, really. So I hope I've given you something today. I hope you have enjoyed it. I wish I could go deeper into the entire cantata, but just to show you that my idea about the figures in this opening movement, that they are beckoning figures, that they are somehow really inviting, saying, follow me. I'm going to play the last two movements for you. I won't talk about them. I'm just going to play them. The last movement is a chorale, and that's a good way to end every episode, really. But the penultimate movement is an aria for bass. And the text says something like, lucky flock of Jesus's sheep, the world for you is a heavenly kingdom, and here you can already taste of Jesus' goodness and hope afterward for the rewards that faith will bring after a sweet sleep in death. Well, maybe let's focus on the first few lines regarding sheep and the flock, and hear how similar, in fact, they sound to this opening movement. Triplets in the string, this ja-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee, this come after, here we come. The pastoral keys, G major, this time in D major. We have an insight, albeit very briefly, this insight into Bach's thinking about what the idea of a shepherd and leading sheep, being outdoors, this metaphor for Christ, how this could have been expressed in sound. So here is Ton Koopman's ensemble. The bass soloist is Klaus Mertens. And the previous recording, by the way, was Masakai Suzuki and his famous Collegium Japan. Please enjoy the last two movements, BWV 104. As I've mentioned, I'll be traveling in the next few weeks, so I won't be at my regular setup, so it's unlikely that I'll get another podcast out in that time. But there are YouTube videos coming, and if you've subscribed to the Substack, there are articles every now and then. But thanks, really, thank you very much for all your support. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for your donations, your kind notes. And I hope to see some of you Friday night in New York City on Bleecker Street. Thanks.
Ein Himmelreich, beglückt. Schmeckt ihr Jesu Güte schon und hoffet noch des Glaubens Lohn und hoffet noch des Glaubens Lohn nach meinem Sagen. Des Glaubens Lohn und hoffet noch des Glaubens Lohn nach einem sanften
This is WTF Bach. Donate on PayPal, Cash App, or Venmo.
Have you not joined Evan's Substack? It's the only place for you to find all the things in the mind of Evan Shinners.
WTFBach.substack.com.
Share this podcast
with your frenemies.
Wow, that's fabulous. Thank you.